This is a podcast from ABC Overnights.
The 2026 Actor Festival is on this February and has drawn a litany of talented names from the world of film and television, including my next guest, Anna Torv. Now, you may know Anna as the star of the hit show The Newsreader, or you may have seen her in The Last of Us, Fringe, The Dry 2, Mindhunter, or her in conversation alongside Emma Freeman at the 2026 Actor Festival. Anna, it is so great to have you here. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
It is a pleasure. Now, yourself and the wonderful Emma Freeman, who has directed you several times on stage together. Now, you've worked together on The Newsreader, on Secret City. You've got a new show coming out. Now, for many of our listeners, the idea of putting yourself out there creatively, expressing yourself, and then having someone critique you in front of a whole bunch of cast and crew would probably put them into pituitary shutdown. So I'd love to hear from you, from your perspective, Anna. What's it like actually taking direction?
In general or just from Emma?
Let's start general.
I do think it's funny because you just, you learn to, you accept it. Like you take direction and criticism every day and you just try it. I was just literally talking about that, the idea. I think that if you're on a set and, you know, a director comes and says, can we try this? I kind of am always confused when actors say, I don't think my character would do this, or I don't know. I feel like this is the spot, this is the point where you play, this is where you throw everything against the wall and see what sticks. So I love it. I, in fact, love taking direction more than I love a director not talking to me, actually.
Oh, okay. So if you do a performance and the director says nothing, are you worried at that point?
Yeah, I had that experience a little while ago, and it was like a pretty freestyle show too. Right. And so it had gone. I'd shot, I think, for a couple of days, and you know the director had spoken to me. We got along, but I had like not a note, like nothing. Just like, okay, great, let's move on. And I was like, is there no net? Is there whatever? And then we get to this one scene, like maybe the third day of shoot, and he walks over and he gives me the most eloquent, precise note, a note that I had actually written and forgotten about. Like, and I'm like, you are watching. You're just letting us be.
Right. Okay. So it's like parenting. There are helicopter parents and there are people who just, you know what, I'm going to let them run in the backyard like free range chooks, basically.
I think it's just a personality bias.
Okay. Well, speaking of personalities, Emma, how did you guys first click? I mean, surely there are plenty of directors you've liked, but what makes Emma special?
See, she should have been in here with me. what makes her special? Well, we met years ago. We met in the very early 2000s on Secret Life of Us, actually, which was like one of my first TV jobs and one of hers too. And we really got along then. And then we got to do Secret City. And I think not only is she an exquisite director, but I do remember... I do really remember that show. It was one of the first things that I'd done after spending 5 years on Fringe, which was, you know, American network TV. Mm. And, you know, we did 101, I think, 101 episodes of that. And in that entire time, we had one female director.
Oh, no.
And isn't that amazing?
It's odd. It feels like...
I know.
It feels like medieval.
I know. And I don't think it was intentional. It just was just quite bizarre. And so when we did Secret City, Emma was there. We also had Jo Werner, who is a female producer. And I just remember going, for the first time I feel like I've got a proper seat at the table. And I think that there's I felt like we could become friends. It was just a whole different experience. But not only that, Emma, we've just finished shooting a show here on the Gold Coast, and I don't think that there would be a single crew member that wouldn't do anything, you know, she asked again. She just is so on point, such a hard worker, but just creates such a safe and happy environment to work in. And that's even when the subject matter is not that. She's just a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful person and also an incredible director.
So she couldn't have been here for this because her head would have been so swollen she wouldn't have been able to get out the door.
She would have just gone, she would have just laughed it off.
Well, okay, so We've talked about directors who don't interact much, and we've talked about Emma's style. How soon do you know when a director is going to speak your language? I'm not implying there's a moment where an actor and director lock eyes and sparks fly, but how different are directors' personal languages? And with someone like Emma, is there a risk that you know each other so well that you sort of, I'm not saying exclude other people, but have a secret language of your own?
I think that ship has sailed.
Okay.
Yes, I think we have a secret language, but I hope we don't exclude other people. What was the first part of that question?
I forget. I needed some direction on how to ask that question properly. No, I was asking when you have directors with...
Oh, how long when do you know?
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
Actually, I think that's the bit, yeah. Sometimes you don't, because sometimes people talk a really good talk. And so you think that it's landing.
Oh.
You think, oh, yeah, we really get along. And then all of a sudden you realize, oh, God, we are not talking. We totally are on different pages. And so I don't know. I mean, I think you can have like a personable, you know, creative relationship on a set, but I don't think you truly know until you get to the end of the project and you see the final product,
until it's too late, is what you're saying.
Well, not until it's too late. Just that's the only... Because it's a creative world, right. And it's taste-based. And so it's not about right or wrong. Mm. It's just, you know, whose taste do you share? And... you can really enjoy working with somebody and then go, oh, that's just not what I thought we were making.
Right.
That has happened.
Okay, so it's like cooking in the dark, anything can
happen. Yeah, well, see, I hate baking. That's I hate baking because you have to be precise.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to follow the recipe and then you got to stick it in the oven and not fiddle with it. And
yeah.
I hate that, so I like cooking. I'm like, oh, no, that was too sweet. We need a little bit more spice.
Yeah, you can always go back and re-edit a thing, but you can't put a cake back in the oven and put more eggs in. The eggs, that's a one-and-done process.
Exactly.
Do you watch Bake Off? Do you also watch Bakers and scream at them? No? Okay.
No.
I watch cooking shows and I always assume that I know better. Did you, before you got into the industry, watch TV and film and think you understood it one way and then just get a bit of a rude awakening when you got into it?
I don't know. I think I started so incrementally,
right.
And I also didn't do anything. Like, I went to NIDA when the only thing we ever did on camera was like a monologue on a stage,
right.
Where we all just cried wearing black, being very theatrical. And so the first, I love her for this to this day, I just love her for this. The first ever thing I did on camera was White Collar Blue, with the beautiful Brooke Satchwell.
Ah.
And I was playing the neighbour and I had to run out of the house and just literally say, I just saw a four-wheel drive with the number plate, blah, 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 go past. And so, of course, it was just so stupid. I was at the end of the day and had waited all day and I got out there. I didn't know that. I didn't know about a mark. I didn't know you had to stand in a particular spot. It was just a train wreck. And she literally reached out and just sort of pushed me to where I was supposed to be and then cued me.
Oh.
Then they went cut. I'm like, well.
Wait, so they don't teach you how to...
They do now, but they didn't back... They didn't when I was there.
Right. No. Okay, because I didn't go to NIDA, unfortunately, Anna. But I would like to assume that they are a little more practical now. Do they... I mean, what's the stuff that you needed to know at the time?
I don't know, but I think things have changed. I've just finished, we've just finished filming a show for the ABC Dustfall with Emma. And we have got a lot of young cast, and I cannot tell you how spectacular these young actors were.
Oh.
Like, some of them, their first jobs. And I was blown away. I mean, I think it took me 10 years just kind of like be remotely believable on camera.
Yeah.
Not joking. And I think, wow, why? Like, is this, what is this? And I go, I think we weren't exposed. Like, we really weren't. Like, we were watching, we only had a couple of stations and, you know, there wasn't, you'd go to the video store. It wasn't all of this amazing, you know, programming on all these different streamers and all the rest. It was just phenomenal, phenomenal. So they're definitely teaching it now.
Okay, well, good. I mean, the first thing I would teach almost everyone, actor or not, is do your taxes, take care of your teeth. I'm here with Anna Torr talking about her career on screen as well as her appearance at the 2026 Actor Festival on the Gold Coast. And we've been talking about your time working, amongst other things, with director Emma Freeman. You've mentioned your new project. You've been in crime dramas before, Mindhunter, Force of Nature. in this new show, you play Tig Pollard, a detective who's come back to her hometown. You've done, like you said, a 5-year stint overseas. What was it like coming back to your hometown after that? What did that feel like returning from? Because I love Fringe, and I would love to do a tight 45 minutes on it. But what was it like, kind of returning to the Australian film industry afterwards?
It was heaven, and I remember it really clearly. It was heaven. Fringe was a lot. Like, it was, again, it was like network television. It was 22 eps, no break, and you'd sort of finish. You'd just be in the fetal position. The hours are ridiculous, and people always whinge about that. But until you do it, like, we did a, I mean, we did a 23-hour camera day. Like, it's the, it's just.
Oh, my God.
I know. It's nuts. And so after, I was like, oh, my God, I just don't know if I can do this again. And then I can't remember what I did back in Australia, but I just wanted to come home. I can't remember what it was, but I remember being at a table read, and all of a sudden it was like all these people that I knew, like all these actors that we all came up, you know, that we'd been broke, you know, walking around Surrey Hills, or, you know, that we'd just like been hanging out at the Bentley Bar forever. And it was this really different experience of having that community again,
right.
Familiar faces, and just the low-key element of it. We work really hard, but there's, it was, I remember just going, this is awesome. This is great.
That's so lovely. Well, So you came back, thank God. Tig heads back to her hometown. Every great TV detective has distinctive yes. traits that make them special.
Well, I mean, look.
You know, I haven't seen the show. I'm not implying Tig needs a just one more thing style Columbo catchphrase either, but what makes her unique, Anna?
Oh, God, I don't even know. We've literally just finished. Like, I'm not even on the bandwagon of, like, how to... I don't know. It was fun to come back. That was interesting to come back. Like, the last, like, you know, talking about Fringe and Olivia, that was a really long time ago, actually. I think, like, 20 years, I think, when I did the pilot of that. And so coming back to playing, like, oh, yeah, like, she's not FBI, she's a detective, was kind of interesting to go, huh. This is familiar.
Yep, just returning to
very familiar territory.
Yeah, I read a quote from Matt Damon recently. He was being interviewed about his new film, and he said that Netflix now tells filmmakers and TV makers, quote, "We want people to stay, and it wouldn't be terrible if you reiterated the plot 3 or 4 times in the dialogue because people are on their phones while they're watching." How do you manage to keep doing interesting, weird, esoteric, outside-the-box projects that get made these days, and how do you somehow keep managing to pick the good ones that rise above that leveling of the medium?
That's a real... that's a compliment. I was going to say that whole thing, though, Matt Damon saying that, that's what I used to get, like... And again, like in Fringe, when it was, you know, I'd be like, we've just said this. I don't understand why we're doing it again. They're like, yeah, but we have to, it's been a commercial break. And so someone has stood up from the couch, gone to the kitchen, they've gone and got themselves a drink. Mm. They've opened it, put it in the glass, come back, sat on the couch, and they just want to feel that they haven't missed anything. I'm like, oh, that makes more sense now that we're doing it. I don't know. It's luck. The truth of it is that it's just sheer luck. And I really try not to stop pushing when I'm on a project. Like, you know, you don't always hit it, but you really should, you know, push to get to the quality that you want it
right.
to get to.
But that's what a director does, right? A director kind of guides and pushes and steers. So,
well, director takes over. Yeah. I mean, like, you know, you want to work for people that have vision and... that's sort of fundamentally, you know, the shows that have done really well have all been directed or run by, you know, pretty singular vision, people that really know what they're doing and have the backing and the support of the people that are helping them get it made, ultimately. And then if you have a good relationship with that person, you always listen. Like, at the end of the day, whoever is directing me, it's their project. They have to go and cut it. They have to go and edit it. Mm. But you definitely keep, you know, you just keep throwing things out there. And best idea wins is what I think the philosophy should always be.
I think that's bang on the money, Anna. It's been terrific speaking with you in the small strange box we have you ensorcelled in over there. But honestly, cannot wait to see the show. I cannot wait to see Dustfall. Chookers with the onstage gig. Do you think it's going to be any different up there from your regular working relationship? Are things going to get a bit looser than normal?
Yes, I think so.
Okay,
it'll be loose. It'll be fun. It'll be fun. I'm looking forward to it, actually.
Yeah, me too. Well, yeah. Anna, it's been a delight. Thank you for being here and have a fantastic day.
Thank you. I will. You too.